we are at home, and particularly how we can be active in our mission as we are at home as well. And part of the reason for this series and for the previous series that we did as well was to really try and get us into gear for our Christianity Explored course. In a couple of weeks' time, we are hoping to start off our course, which will be 7 weeks long, where a group of us will get together and we'll start to look through Mark's Gospel together, looking at different chapters, different areas, to be discovering more about who Jesus is. And this is a course which is suitable for anyone who is already part of the church family, who would like to discover more about the Christian faith. But also it's appropriate and it's suitable as well for neighbours and for family and for friends who would also like to learn more about the Christian faith. So we still have hundreds of flyers which you can take for yourself, you can take to give out as well. Please don't feel like you can only take a couple. Please take as many as you want, because they'll only be appropriate for this time around. And we're hoping and we're praying that we'll get a good response so that we can start off a new series, a new Christianity Explored series, in a couple of weeks' time. So please be praying for that. The summer holidays are nearly coming to an end, and maybe you've been on holiday and you feel incredibly refreshed, and you feel relaxed, and you feel ready for a new term. I know that the country seems, whether you go to school or not, we all seem to be programmed by the academic year, don't we? Maybe you're feeling refreshed and rejuvenated, or maybe you've been on holiday or you've been keeping the kids busy and you feel exhausted and you're looking forward to a rest. But I'm excited to see how God is going to be moving in us and through us over the course of the next term. How he's going to be using us as a church, but also how he's going to be using us as individuals over the coming months. And so before we sing, I'm going to read a passage from Isaiah chapter 40. And this is from the Message version, if it doesn't sound all that familiar to you. God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything, inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their primes stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. So I invite you to stand if you're able, and we pray that God will be our strength and he will be our source of enthusiasm and passion and delight this morning as we sing together. Lives. I used to be a children's worker, and at different points I used to be a youth worker as well. And at each of the places that I have been at, I think in every situation I've been told by various people just how good the old days of children's and youth ministry used to be. Like, the way it's described is like the image that we see on the screen, where you'd have churches full of families and of children, and then in the morning, and then in the afternoon, all the children would be sent to Sunday school, and there'd be absolutely hordes of children going along, and then of course you'd have the evening service as well. And when people would be telling me about how great the good old days were in terms of children's and youth ministry, It always made me wonder, why are you telling me this? What is the purpose of this? Is this to give me some hope that we're going to be like that again, if that's what we were looking for? Or really, is it just a bit of an underhand way of saying, why on earth aren't there more children and young people here at the church? So whenever that used to be said to me, whenever I used to have that conversation, I would often get quite defensive. And I would start to say about all of the other things that we do, how we connect with children and young people during different times of the week. I would point to how culture changes and about how habits and routines of families change, which is why we don't have the masses rocking up two or three times on a Sunday. And I feel like since leaving children's and youth ministry, I found that I get even more defensive about it these days as well, maybe for the sake of Martha and for others, but also just because it really isn't all about getting the numbers in, is it? But we do desire to progress, and we desire to expand, not only just in terms of children's and youth ministry, but indeed every aspect of ministry in the church, and perhaps in most aspects of life itself. But the truth is that little in life has just a continuous upward trajectory, a term which I use here sometimes. In most areas of life, we will have our peaks, but we'll also have little troughs. And we will hope that in terms of church life, we would hope in terms of the happiness and health in families, in terms of our work, in terms of our finances, we would hope that over the course of time there would be a general improvement and a general growth. But we have to appreciate that in virtually every aspect of life, we're going to have these little peaks, but also little troughs along the way. And when it is those times of those little troughs, we can easily get discouraged. We can easily feel deflated. Maybe if things aren't going quite as well as we wanted, maybe at home, maybe at work, maybe in our finances, but also maybe in terms of the life and the ministry and the witness of the church. If we don't feel like everything is going on an upward trajectory, if we don't see numbers increasing, if we don't see enthusiasm increasing, then we can very quickly become discouraged. We can become tired. We can feel hopeless. And suddenly our big prayers for big changes, for big growth, for big transformation, those prayers can suddenly start to get a little bit smaller as our hopes and our expectations also get smaller. And as we're thinking about mission this morning, as we're thinking about what it means to be on mission locally and at home, I want us to be looking at an example of where Jesus remained faithful and hopeful and energetic, even during a time of ministry which perhaps wasn't so fruitful, wasn't quite so amazing as a previous time had been. And so I'm going to ask George to come up and read to us. So if you have a Bible, then please do follow along. We're going to be reading in Matthew chapter 15, which will be verses 29 through to 39, the end of the chapter. Thank you.
Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. Laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want them to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, "Where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied, "and a few small fish." He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he'd given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciple picked up seven baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000, beside women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan.
Thank you.
So if you followed along in your Bibles or on a Bible app, if you go to the previous chapter, you will see a very famous story, a very famous encounter of Jesus feeding the 5,000. This is one of the most famous stories in the whole Bible. Many sermons have been preached on the feeding of the 5,000. There have been many different types of works of art that have been created to celebrate this miracle. There are plenty of kids' resources on the feeding of the 5,000 as well. So as we were sorting out some children's resources this morning, Hannah was looking for feeding of the 4,000 resources, couldn't find a single thing. There's an absolute ton of stuff on feeding the 5,000. And so feeding the 5,000 in Matthew chapter 14 is so well known. And perhaps it's for that reason that then in the next chapters you flick over in Matthew chapter 15, the feeding of the 4,000 just seems to be forgotten. In Matthew 14, we believe that it is the occasion is takes place during the spring, that there are 5,000 Jewish men in attendance. That doesn't include the women and the children, and so perhaps you're talking about 20,000 people who had followed Jesus after he had been grieving the loss of his relative John the Baptist. You have these 20,000 people, these 20,000 stomachs that needed feeding. And so Jesus was given five loaves of bread, was given two fish, the picnic of a little boy. He blessed it. He distributed it with the disciples. And after 20,000 people had miraculously been fed and made full, the baskets where the bread and the fish had been taken out were returned, and there were still 12 baskets of food left. You then flick the page. So we go from chapter 14 to chapter 15, and we see that although we are only going to the next chapter, we're actually moving along through the year. So no longer are we in spring, but in fact we're most likely now in summertime. Rather than 5,000 Jewish men, we now have 4,000 men. And because of the location where it was taking place in Decapolis, which is the name given to 10 cities that were close together, most of which are in modern-day Jordan, it's likely that these 4,000 men, or many of these 4,000 men, were in fact Gentiles, they were non-Jewish people. If there were 4,000 men, then perhaps we could say maybe there were 16,000 people in total, men, women, and children. Rather than just five bread and two fish on that occasion, it was seven loaves of bread, and it was a few fish. And when everyone had been fed and the baskets were collected back, On this occasion, there are only 7 baskets of food left. I reckon if we read Matthew chapter 15 by itself and had no knowledge of the feeding of the 5,000, then the feeding of the 4,000 would be much more famous. When we read through the details of what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 15, they're astonishing what he did, with the way that he ministered to the people, with the way that he brought healing to multitudes, how he managed just to take 7 bread and a few fish and be able to feed thousands upon thousands of people and still had 7 baskets at the end. We see the incredible power and the incredible compassion of Jesus in Matthew chapter 15. But because something even bigger and better and more astounding had happened just a few months before, or in our Bibles just the chapter before, the wonder and the intrigue in the feeding of the 4,000 just isn't really there. And we don't need to feel too bad with ourselves, with the fact that we're not that astonished with the feeding of the 4,000. Because even if you look at the gospel writers, 2 of them didn't think that the story was significant enough to be including in their gospel writings. So the feeding of the 5,000, we have it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the feeding of the 4,000, we only have in Matthew and in Mark. And it's a wonder, and it's amazing that Jesus actually performed this miracle in Matthew chapter 15. As you can imagine, just a couple of months previously, Jesus had performed a miraculous picnic. You'd think that after doing this incredible miracle of multiplying the bread and multiplying the fish to such an extent, that when it then came to finding many hungry people again, he might want to do something a bit differently. Or think, you know what, I reckon in years to come, people are going to write about the feeding of the 5,000. So why would I bother feeding the 4,000 at all? Especially as before I'd been feeding my Jewish people, and on this occasion it's going to possibly be for the Gentiles. But Jesus didn't mind repeating this miraculous act. And Jesus didn't mind doing this miraculous act to a smaller number. And that's because for him, it wasn't all about the numbers. It wasn't all about what was going to be written. It wasn't all that was going to be created into art and into children's resources. But his focus, as he was ministering to people, was the people that were in front of him. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. As he was in the moment, as he had been healing and as he had been preaching and sharing about the kingdom, his concern was not for the reputation that he would get for performing this miracle. It wasn't about trying to fill up his own ego or to try and fill up chapters in gospels that would later be written. But his focus was for these people, for the number that he had in front of them, even if it was a smaller number than before. As we read in the springtime, when Jesus was ministering to people, there were 5,000 men, maybe 20,000 people, who hadn't brought lunch with them, who were starting to get hungry. And Jesus didn't really seem to be aware of it. It was the disciples who came up to him and said, look, you're doing amazing things. People are really being moved, but at the same time, they're starting to get hungry. What can we do about it? But just a few months later on, we see that it isn't the disciples that bring an awareness of people's hunger, but it is Jesus himself. He is the one who, in amongst of all of this healing and sharing and bringing transformation, releasing people from the chains that they are in, he not only cares about the big stuff and what he's seeing and what people are saying, He even cares about people's hungry stomachs. The story of the feeding of the 4,000 is not important in church history. Maybe some of you here didn't even know that this existed. And it's unlikely that even in the future there'll be lots of children's resources made for the feeding of the 4,000. It's unlikely that we're going to see a lot of artwork that is created for the feeding of the 4,000. I'm very likely to be preaching on the feeding of the 5,000 in future years. Maybe I'll never preach on the feeding of the 4,000 ever again. Maybe it's not that important to us because we have an even more spectacular story to be thinking about. But it was important to those 4,000 people who were there. It was important to the mute who could now speak. It was important to the crippled who are now made well. It was important to the lame who are able to walk. And it was important to the blind who are now able to see. People often pray for revival. I lived in Wales for 3 years, which is a very kind of revivalist country, and it seems as if for many, many centuries, each century there seems to be a revival of sorts. And so much is said about the 1904 revival that took place. But people get upset when revivals in Wales or in other parts of the world don't seem to last that long. People wish that there would be a revival where people would revive their faith, or where new people would come to faith with a new energy and with a new enthusiasm. And that would last and last and last until Jesus comes again. But I think it would be true to say that for most revivals that do take place, where you do have a very clear upward trajectory of number and also of enthusiasm and zeal, they don't tend to last that long. I know of a revival that is currently taking place in California, and we get updates from a family member of ours who is connected with a guy who is leading that revival. And this revival hasn't been going on for a few days or a few weeks or even a few months. The revival is going on and on and on and on. And it's absolutely exhausting everyone who is taking part in that revival. With all of the details that need to be sorted out, all of the logistics, all of the preaching, all of the music, all of the prayer ministry that is taking place, perhaps night after night, the people who are taking part in that revival are feeling exhausted. So it's no wonder that revivals tend to run out of steam over time. As we start a new academic year, we want to see a revival. We want to see growth. We want to see an upward trajectory where we can see people being more deeply discipled, where we can see more people being discipled, where we can try and have more of an impact in our mission. But the truth is, and the reality is that in some areas of our ministry at SBC, and maybe further afield as well, in some of those areas of ministry, they may have leveled out. There may even be a decline. This is to be expected. This is how the world works. Not everything just can keep on growing forever. There are seasons for each of these different things. And a season of starting something, a season of growth, but there will inevitably be seasons of decline and of death as well. And where we do find things leveling out, where we do find decline in certain areas of ministry, of course we do need to be putting thought and care and prayer and intention into those different areas to see what we can do to make those things grow again. But where we do get involved in certain things, where there doesn't seem to be the momentum that there once was, where we feel like certain things might be starting to get a little bit repetitive, our focus does not need to be on the numbers. Our focus doesn't need to be just on the trajectory. But our focus in that moment of that ministry is to focus on the people who are there and who can be impacted by what we are doing. It's likely that in years to come, as the SBC website is updated, especially the history page, much of what we do will not be recorded on that page. Many of the things that we do, whether they be activities or sermon series or events, acts of outreach, they may not be very clearly or remarkably remembered. But in some senses, that doesn't matter too much. Because just as those who Jesus ministered to had a story to tell, so will the people that we minister to. We may not have a great legacy for every aspect of ministry that we do, but we will have a legacy in the people who are there and who do want to learn and be discipled and grow in their faith. So let's continue to be praying for an upward trajectory at the beginning of a new academic year. Let's be praying that in many different ways we can grow and increase maturity, our Christian maturity, and in the fruits of the Spirit. May we also grow in our mission and our witness to the community and the wider community as well. But in the small routine gatherings that we will continue to have, as well as the big one-off exciting projects, may we find fulfillment and may we feel joy, may we feel purpose in blessing one another with God's abundance. Amen. Let's take a few moments in the quiet just for us to be saying our own prayers and be giving our own reflections. I imagine that for the majority of people here, you not only come along on a Sunday morning, but you're involved in some other area of ministry. Why not take a moment or two to be praying for that area or maybe a few different areas of ministry? For you to be praying that they would see growth, that they would be attracting new people to be witnessed to and to be discipled. But let's also spend a few moments maybe praying for certain individuals that we know that are in those groups, who, even if the numbers don't increase for whatever reason, are still people that we can minister to when we meet them.
It's good to bring our prayers to God, so let's pray. Father, we do praise you. Lord, thank you that we've been able to sing your praises here this morning. And Lord, we've been reminded of how blessed you are, that your name is blessed. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you're with us in the happy times and in the sad times. Lord, we pray that you'll forgive us for when we forget you, when we forget your forgiveness, when we doubt you. Lord, thank you that your love is greater than any love we could ever have for you. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the nation in which we live. Lord, it seems to be in such turmoil at the moment. Lord, there's protests, the meetings, and the Brexit thing has been going on for years now. And Lord, there doesn't really seem to be an end, but we trust you and we just lift our politicians to you and the European politicians, and we just pray your will be done in this country, Lord. We give to you all the political unrest, the impending election. Lord, we seem to have had so many elections and votes in the recent years, but Lord, we just lift them all to you. Lord, we pray for those who are living in poverty in this country. Lord, those who are homeless. Lord, children. Oh, Lord, I still find it unimaginable, Lord, that there are children starving in this country, and yet I hear that there are. And Lord, that must be such an abomination to you, that in one of the richest countries of the world, Lord, children are starving, children are going without basic necessities. Lord, I do pray that you will just turn this country round, turn the hearts of the people around, Lord, that compassion will be shown to those in need. Lord, we pray against the exploitation of the poor. Lord, modern-day slavery. Lord, we hear horrific stories of how people are treated and exploited for monetary gain. Lord, treated, Lord, as if they don't matter. And Lord, each one is your child. Lord, we pray against those who exploit children and groom them, Lord, for their own pleasures or for their own political interests. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon our children, we pray. And Father, at the beginning of a new school year, Lord, September is a time of going forward. Lord, we make New Year's resolutions in January, but September's the beginning of a new year too. Lord, there'll be children starting school, children going to new schools, children leaving school and going to work, children leaving school and going to university. Lord, we lift them to you, and especially the children associated with this church. Lord, that you'll be with them. You'll be with their teachers. Lord, teachers will be having new classes, new children to get to know. Lord, we lift them to you and pray that, Lord, you will give them wisdom in their teaching, that you will give them love in their teaching, that you will give them care. And Lord, we do pray for the frogs who meet on a Friday evening. Lord, we've heard recently that there's several of them will be moving up to the youth group in September. Lord, a big step for many of them. We pray for them. And we pray for the older youth group as they welcome the younger ones in. We pray, Lord, that these children may continue to grow in you and be nurtured in you. And we pray for the home groups, Lord, as we start meeting again, having had a break in August. We pray over the new studies that we'll undertake. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us a real hunger to study your word, Lord, so that we can guide and guard one another in your word. And Father, we pray for the planned Christianity Explored meetings. Lord, we pray that you will lay people on our hearts to invite to these meetings. Lord, we pray that the people you want there will be there, and that you will meet with them and reveal yourself to them through your word. Lord, we do pray that disciples will be made. And Lord, we pray also for members of our fellowship. Lord, we've heard about Naomi Savage and the start of her training. Lord, we do pray for her and the rest of her team will be going to Calcutta. That, Lord, they will have a good relationship and good team dynamics. We pray that you'll keep them in good health and you'll give them travelling mercies. And Lord, we pray for Anne Coney in hospital and for Ken and Jack and Adam as they have their holiday. We pray for John and Glenys and lift them to you, Lord, and for Belle Spencer. And Lord, others who are unwell and in poor health at the moment. And Lord, we pray also for the community lunch, for those that will come and join us over lunch today. Lord, may we show them your love, your care, your compassion. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.